As a result of their profession, bouncers are often in the direct line of fire with drunk or agitated nightclub patrons. But does having security present prevent altercations or simply provoke them? I spoke to Daryl Stelfox of the National Security Training Academy in Marsden to hear what he had to say.
My name's Daryl, and I'm one of the trainer and assessors here at National Security Training Academy.
Uh-huh. And how long have you worked here for?
5 years.
Okay. And what kind of people do you generally get?
I get a mixed bunch. Yep. You've got to be 18 to be a security officer.
Yep.
The oldest one we had was around about 70-odd.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, security is not for everyone, but there's a lot of options, a lot of opportunities in security.
Yeah.
You know, whether you work in, you know, in a crowd control environment, or you're in a retirement village checking locks, checking doors, checking windows,
yep,
talking to staff and stuff, you've got private investigator, you've got bodyguard, you've got dog patrol, you've got armed guards, you've got pretty much a lot of different angles, a lot of different paths just from the base level, so to speak.
Okay.
So yeah, so the good thing about security is that if you're not really sure where you want to go in the future, you know, we are a licensed symbol of public trust. People,
yep,
have a lot of trust in us just simply because we are a security officer.
Yeah.
So we want to be in a scenario where we're constantly trying to provide and guide and assist.
Daryl went on to say that the guidelines around training to be a bouncer were now as strict as ever.
You need to have a Certificate 2 in Security Operations unarmed, mm-hmm, which is your minimum, plus you need to have the crowd control qualification as well.
Yeah.
And these days, if you work around alcohol, you've got to have the RSA, the Responsible Service of Alcohol.
Okay.
The things that we look for are basically good communicators,
mm-hmm,
good negotiators, good people-orientated people in relation to identifying possible conflict and nipping it in the butt right from word go, rather than let it, you know, fester up and get out of hand.
But as a trainer, can you turn someone that comes in here and says, I want to be a bouncer, if you think that they don't have the personal,
well,
personality
well
traits?
They may not even have it initially, but what we try to do is coach them and train them in a way where they get to see the broad picture rather than what they anticipate and what they might think it to be.
Okay.
Because it's not always what you think it is until you actually get into the nitty-gritty of it and learn all the aspects of. I mean, when it gets to the physical side of it, you might get some big boys that come in here and think, yeah, I want to be a bouncer, I want to be a crowd controller, simply because they, you know, they eat their Weet-Bix every day, so to speak.
Yeah.
But that's always the last resort. You're better to be a well-rounded communicator,
yeah,
and still be seen to be, you know, assisting and providing. Some of the guards get it wrong and they personalise it.
Yeah.
And I try to instill in my guys right from word go that it's very, very difficult to provoke anyone that doesn't want to be provoked.
Yeah.
Very hard to upset someone that doesn't want to be upset. If someone can push your button and find the right words to say, whether they pick on your race, your religion, the way you speak, who you are, whatever,
mm,
and then if you personalise that, then instantly that's the ingredients for conflict.
Yeah.
So I try to get my guards to know that it doesn't matter what they say, it doesn't really matter, you know, how they say it. You need to know that you maintain your professionalism.
Mm.
You don't cross that line under any circumstances.
Mm.
Obviously, when you do, that's when the conflict begins, and then you're always sorry for what's about to happen,
yeah,
which is usually not a good thing, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's half the battle, not personalising it and trying to maintain your professionalism.
Moving on a little bit, I wanted to kind of ask you, as someone who trains bouncers, how do you think they're generally perceived or received by...
In
by
the real world, yeah, or in the training centre?
In the real world. How
in the
do you
real
think...
world, I guess there's a minority of them out there that are classed as boneheads that try to take advantage of their muscles, and their attitude is not really basically set up the way it should have been.
Yeah.
Even with the boys that I get in here sometimes, that you can see that they look like they could just rip your head off if they wanted to.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, got that sort of intimidating look about them, which is good to have someone on the front door like that, because if you've got riffraff in the queue, for argument's sake, and they eyeball, you know, this big looking guard that's got tree trunks for arms and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And even though he might be a gentle giant, just to look at him, you think, okay, I don't want to mess around in here tonight because I'm going to have to deal with someone like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So no words said, just presence alone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, most of them are pretty fair and understand that, you know, when people are drunk and when people are upset for whatever reason, that, again, it's not personal, it's not pointed towards us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just due to their scenario, their situation.
Yeah.
So they can, as I mentioned before, know that it is a job, that it's a profession. It's not something that they want to, you know, get under their skin and personalise it and then and think, okay, well, you've upset me, now I'm going to upset you.
Yeah.
Same as when they throw punches and stuff, the patrons this is, and that they, you know, might blame the security or they might blame the other person that's involved in their altercation or whatever.
Yeah.
That, and I do instill this in the guys, and it's actually in the training manual as well. We never hit. Now, I know that's different when you see on the news because you see security, you know, going hammer and tongs.
Yeah.
But I try to teach my guys that lawfully, if they're hitting or crossing the line any which way, all we can ever do is restrain.
Yeah.
And have that measure of control, knowing that if we had no security and people start to lose it for whatever reason, where's the measure of control?
Yeah.
Police take too long to come.
Yeah.
So you've got to have the security there, but I let the guys know, and the slogan is quite simple now, one punch can kill, so we can't be seen to be hitting, because if they now know that, they have what we call mens rea, a guilty mind, mm-hmm. which means that if they know that one punch can kill and they throw the punch, and if it wasn't their head hitting their head, it was their head hitting the ground,
mm-hmm.
and they've caused that, that could be the difference between murder and manslaughter, right?
Yeah.
So having said all that, we get hit, it's the nature of the business, you can't personalise it. Knowing that when you can get some sort of pain compliance, which is usually a restraint, you initiate the pain and then they will comply.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't incorporate sleeper holds or choke holds or vascular neck restraints or any headlock whatsoever.
Yeah.
Actually teach them what a headlock is all about so they know what it is, so they know not to do it.
Uh-huh.
But on the same token, we do teach them the come along hold, which is just like a straight arm bar and throttle the arm back to the point where they get off up on their toes.
Yeah.
And then they should comply with the officer's request, because obviously they're in a position now where no one likes to be held, no one likes to be restrained. But on the same token, it's not excessive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reasonable amount of force to get them out of their own free will.
Yeah.
If they won't leave with their own free will, we're going to help them leave with their own free will.
Okay.
By using lawful technique.
Right, right.
And that's easier said than done, because as you see on A Current Affair and a lot of these news headlines that, yeah, guards have pushed the line, crossed the line, and then it makes it bad for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of these guards were coming up from New South Wales doing 2 days training up here, and it wasn't even training, because when he paid his $700 for the training, he was given his assessments, but he was also given the answers.
Right.
And the unfortunate thing there is obviously he's getting shortchanged, and there's a lot of responsibility that a security officer has, and to be shortchanged on all that information, and then for him to go back to New South Wales and request RPL or mutual recognition,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden he gets it because he's got a valid qualification up here,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden that he's recognised down there, but he's had no appropriate training at all.
Right.
I cringe more when I hear about things like that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the training, you're only going to react the way you've trained.
Yeah.
If you don't and you've had no training, it's like you scratch your head and think, okay, well, I'm either going to wing it or I'm going to do nothing.
Yeah.
And then what happens then?
Yeah, okay.
The ingredients for conflict begins, right?
So, yeah.
Mm.
And when you see, you know, obviously it's probably not reported well, but when you see a bouncer pummeling someone on the 6 o'clock news,
yep.
can you anticipate what you think has gone wrong in that situation?
Yeah, most definitely. I can tell you straight away that particular guard has personalised it.
Mm-hmm.
His profession and everything's out the window now, because it's just something that he's taken on board under his own skin for whatever the reason is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the line's been crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the legal ramifications need to kick in, for the simple reason that if he suffers no consequences, it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And who else is going to learn by that?
Yeah.
All right, so when a guard's going totally hammer and tongs, the line's being crossed, he's personalised it, for whatever the reason may be, he might have, you know, picked on it the way he talks, the way he is, his race, his religion, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the line's crossed. And it's easier said than done not to cross that line.
Yeah.
It takes a certain calibre person to know that doesn't matter what he says, doesn't matter what he does, this is my job, I expect all this sort of stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I'm big enough to know that I control me, no one else controls me. I'm the one with the self-control.
Yep.
Easier said than done in some cases, though, as you see on TV.
Yeah.
And here, you know, in the papers and stuff, that is just phenomenal, some of the things that do go on.
Is it disappointing seeing how bouncers are portrayed in the media?
It is. There are some great bouncers out there that do their jobs correctly, that do, you know, try to identify what's going on and try and nip it in the bud.
Mm-hmm.
But there are those cowboy ones that are out there that it's all about their reputation. They don't want to be humiliated. They don't want to be in a scenario where they feel like that they're going to be belittled in front of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that need obviously retraining or reevaluating or moving on.
And do you think as a profession, bouncers kind of get a bum rap by the 6 o'clock news or the...
Yeah, but you can understand why, because when the minority are out there doing the wrong thing, it's just like a car salesman. You get one dodgy car salesman, they're all branded dodgy, right?
Yeah.
And we know that that's different, because you do get genuine ones that are out there. But yeah, it's disheartening, and it's to the point now where some of these guards have been out there for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Some of them have got old school training and haven't been retrained properly.
Yeah.
And if they don't get retrained properly, they're still going to react and train the with what they know.
You've
got to think of it this way. If you went to a club and there was no bouncers, no security measures whatsoever, and something was to go down, the first thing everyone's going to scream for is the police. But unfortunately, the police, being run off their feet and as busy as they are, they're going to take too long to get there. So when it comes back to initially responding to a scenario, if you've got security presence there,
yeah,
and they're professional enough to identify what's going on, they've got that measure of control to deal with it right there and then.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when conflict begins, it goes into escalation phase, so it starts to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes into crisis phase, because now we've got issues and injuries and all these other dilemmas all brewing up at the same time. So keeping this in mind, to have the security measure there and for them to be professional enough, I think, yeah, it's we need to have them.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that are, like I said, that are a little bit gung-ho, that it's all about their reputation and all the rest of it, probably need re-evaluating.